You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Real quick before we start the show, just wanted to let you guys know you can get the show 2 days early by joining our Patreon. Even for a buck, you can listen to the show 2 days early. Go to patreon.com/analogtalk and we got a bunch of stuff over there. Check it out and enjoy the episode.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to another episode of Analog Talk, a film photography podcast. I'm your host, Chris.
I'm Tim.
And today on our show, we have Heather Hazan. Hi, Heather.
Hello. Ooh. Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
Yes, thank you for joining us. We've had a little scheduling mishap, so I'm glad to finally chat with you today. But for our listeners who may not know who you are, do you mind introducing yourself and kind of giving us a background on how you got into photography?
Sure. Yeah, first off, I'm just so happy to be talking with other film fans. It's my love, it's awesome. So I'm Heather Hazan. I work as a photographer. I actually got started very late. I didn't go to school for this. I was 26 when I first learned an ISO was.
Nice.
It's been definitely like self-taught, and I originally was interested in this industry on the modeling side, like half my life ago, like when I was like 17. Started in the industry on the modeling side and thought you had to be like a size zero, and my body wasn't that way, and so went down that path and felt very pressured. And then I couldn't maintain that size, so I was like emailing my agent like, is there any way I can be a part of this industry? Let me work for you. Let me assist at the agency. So that's kind of what I did. As I was gaining weight, which was a healthy weight for me. And I started working behind the scenes and taking models digitals and, you know, their Polaroids for different clients. And I was like, I really like this, but didn't think anything of it. Tried the plus size modeling route and kind of really did not love the way curve models were portrayed at this time. You know, this is over a decade ago, but it was like very one dimensional. The models were like, you know, you had to have like perfectly curled hair, a face and makeup.
Right.
They were like patting boobs and hips, and they wanted this idea of this curve model. And I was like, no, but all these people I'm seeing at castings are like super editorial and cool, and no one's getting it. So I would like take pictures of my model friends like in my bedroom with like natural light to know what I was doing. And over time I was like, maybe I should learn about it. So like take online classes, and still didn't know anything. And then kind of learned on set on like really, really small jobs, and was hiring the right assistants and digital techs. And then it kind of spiraled from there.
Man. Wow.
Yeah. So definitely not the like normal route.
When did the love of film come in? Because I shouldn't assume, but this is kind of one of the questions I always ask people who do your kind of work. Do you have to like convince the client like, oh, I want to shoot on film? Because in my line of work, they're like, they want it before I'm even go to bed that night. You know what I mean?
Totally. Yeah. I mean, I think when I was shooting all my model friends. I was shooting on a digital camera. I didn't even know about film. And I was like, I just never felt connected to it. I was like, this feels fake. I don't even want to go down this path. I don't even know what it means to, you know, be a photographer. But I knew that whatever I was doing with digital wasn't working. And then I got a camera for Christmas one year, a Hasselblad, which was like, oh, this is amazing. Ooh, let's try this
Merry
out.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, who did
this
that?
This was the best thing in the whole world. Yeah, my family. Because they saw that I was interested, but I was just floating around. I was 26. Like, I didn't know what was happening. And then I took that first picture of that Hasselblad.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, man, this is it. And I felt connected to it. And when the pictures came back, I was like, oh, there's that feeling that I'm missing. Yeah. There's the soul that I'm missing. And it all was like, film is the answer.
I just love hearing that everybody's moment where like the life has, everything has changed. Like the world just turns to color, you know? Like,
yeah. it was a huge moment.
That's amazing.
I mean, like, I think so many of our favorite photos of all time were shot on film. And we're like, wait, what's missing now? And I've never seen an industry go backwards, almost like our industry.
Right.
Like so many of our favorite photos were decades ago. And there's a return, though. Film is back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's one of those things, like, it's coming back in motion picture too.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I always wonder, like, if we had pumped the brakes sooner, we'd be in like a better position to, you know, for film companies to be, you know, we see stuff getting discontinued all the time. And it's like, wait, I thought we were back. What's going on? Why is this happening still? You know?
But I just saw the Portra just got more expensive.
I was like, I know. Yeah, and I saw too that Kodak just released their, what was it, their 2022 annual, whatever it is, like their the money they made, they like slashed or broke all these records and stuff. And everyone,
where did you see that?
I think it was
on
Twitter.
For them to post that.
I think it was. Oh no, that's. I immediately went to the comments to see, like, and everyone's like, "Oh, great, you guys are doing great."
Yeah.
So is film going to get cheaper now? Or are we gonna start going back down?
They're like, "No, we have to pay everyone," which is a good thing.
Yeah.
But
yes, agreed.
But no, I agree. I mean, in my day to day. To like pay rent, I shoot a lot of advertising work and I have to shoot on digital. But for any of my personal or editorials, that's all on film.
Yeah. And I just learned the whole world of digi-teching, like digital technicians that do all that stuff for. I never knew. That makes so much more sense now because, you know, I'm a hobbyist. I do this just for like the brain good that shooting photography does for me.
Yeah.
And just hearing, you know, professional photographers talk about, you know, I have to shoot digital for this. And it's like, man, I just don't know how you get a good picture. And then it was like, oh, there's Digitechs. Like there's people that can, you know, make things look good for you. So what a relief.
they call me Tethered Heather when I'm shooting. Tethered Heather's the worst Heather.
Yeah.
But for some of these advertising jobs where they have, you know, 40 shots in a day and they have all these cropping needs and it's just, you know, and product shots and everything has to be in focus. It's like, you know, sometimes it makes sense, but they're not going to get the soul and they're not going to get.
No.
Yeah.
It's a everything comes at a cost.
Do you shoot primarily like your most of your celebrity stuff on film or is that also digital too? Or like mixed?
So if it's all basically probably anything you've seen on my website or Instagram is shot on only film. And then my advertising stuff is primary, I'd say 95% digital.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No shame in that. Like I said, I do it too.
Yeah.
Just because, I mean, you know, I do a lot of on-set photography. Our listeners have heard me talk about it a million times. But, you know, back in the day, they were changing roles. I couldn't imagine it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like
advertising
photography was way different. You know, they were shooting 4x5.
So cool.
You know.
Yeah. And for my editorials and celebrity editorials, I just kind of say, you know, you can either spend money on a digital tech or we can use that same amount of money on film. And I'm happy to test on digital, make sure PR approves, everybody approves, the clothing is laid right. And then once we get it on this, we're going to move to film right away. And they usually are okay with that. So
what a different world. We live in like the future now, but yet we're all trying to capture the, you know, the beauty of film. Yeah. It's crazy. It's crazy.
How do did the celebrities think it's like super cool that you're shooting on film?
I mean, I think it's really come back so much that they're used to it now and they get excited by it. I think what's great about it too is like the PR can go away. Everybody can kind of go away and you're left to have some actual intimate connected moment with this person. And they're not seeing every single change that they make you know, on the computer. And I think it allowed us for these people to really let down and not feel like, oh, I have to be amazing every single shot, but I could really like relax and maybe I do something weird, but maybe that, you know, leads to something really beautiful. And I think when I'm tethered, it's like, oh no, don't do that, you know, and everybody else is commenting and it's like, wait, it might turn into something good.
Oh, that's so interesting.
And that's what I just don't know how I would be able to comprehend something like that, where you're tethered. The stress to that it just seems so much higher than the thought of, did I get the shot with film? Like just having somebody critique every little movement
like
of what
the
you're
moment.
Doing.
Yeah, in
the moment. And like you just said, it's like maybe something magical would have happened, but you got people stopping it and throwing the brakes on. And you know, you're like, wait, no, don't do that, because you can see it. And it's just, man, I don't know.
Yeah, the models, they feel that, and they feel all the eyes because they know it's not just what people are seeing, but, you know, there's multiple monitors and there's an iPad with the content too coming in.
Oh, goodness.
And
geez.
And then during the pandemic, it was all via Zoom. So clients, wherever they were, we were seeing my capture feed live.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I was miserable, to be honest.
Yeah. I had something similar, but I didn't have the ability to tether. So that we were just over Zoom. We would connect the camera after that. We would like shoot a bunch, connect the camera, scroll through. And that my heart started pounding every time we connected, because I was like, oh God, you know? And, you know, although the flip side was knowing that the clients were happy in that moment was nice too, but I don't know. It's just a weird thing, you know?
Right. And you don't have time to like edit it and go through it and put your own stuff on it. So,
yeah, exactly.
So coming from the model world, you know, being on that side of the camera to, you know, now you're the photographer, what are like the big changes you've seen since then? Because I'm sure things are not as disgusting as they used to be.
Totally.
I
mean, when I started, I mean, I literally was told, because at that time they wanted curve models to also like have a perfect like hourglass shape. And so there was so much padding and, you know, there's just so much deception in this industry. And I would have to wear like Spanx and then put pads in my hips and butt and boobs to make this shape happen. But then they wanted like, you know, a chiseled jawline and clavicles. And you're like, that doesn't exist.
No.
So I think during that time, I wanted to see all shapes, sizes, colors, ages in this industry. And it's exciting. There's a lot of progress that's been made. And it's so cool to see these models get into these like high-end fashion moments. Because I think, you know, it's awesome when like an everyday brand uses all sizes. But what's so exciting for me is when like a high-end fashion brand uses, you know, a size 12 or whatever. And it doesn't matter because she's just so editorial and chic and she's amazing. And her size of her, you know, hips does not matter whatsoever. So it's exciting. I still think we have more to go, but it's definitely an exciting time to be in the industry.
It makes sense. You would want like real people in the clothes, because then some real size 12 is like, this doesn't look like her. If she's a size 12, how come it doesn't look like, you know, it's like, that's not going to work.
Yeah, exactly. And I was like, you know what? I'm kind of tired of being like a character in this thing. I kind of want to start directing it and be on the other side and show these women in this way that I want to see them. And so it all kind of started from there.
I love that. And speaking of directing, I had a question, because a lot on your website, you have like little moments of like Super 8 stuff.
Yeah.
What I'm assuming is Super 8.
Yeah.
Do you have any aspirations to take that further with motion? Like direct something?
Yeah. So on my, how I make my money in this industry. Is like full blown big advertising sets for a lot of beauty, fitness, lingerie, all of that. But I also direct small like beauty commercials. And I work with a DP and a team. The stuff on my website is just like fun and what I like. Like there's one with an iPhone app, but I'll leave it to like the professionals. But directing is really a whole nother world, but it's fun.
Yeah. Another bucket list of mine as well.
I know. Same. I would love to direct something one day.
I can't imagine big movie sets. I'm like, what it takes on a still set. And then you think about the pre-pro and the post-pro and how stressful it is already. And I can't imagine how you make a movie. It seems like a miracle to me.
I know. And to keep track of everything, like, you know, because they shoot out of order and it's just, I mean, I assisted on a couple things like that when I was living in Nashville, and
cool.
it was a total blast. But again, even just being a grip running around doing things, it's like, I don't know what I'm doing. Oh, well, all right.
Just yeah. hold this boom.
Yep.
Exactly. And sometimes I think when things get too big, you kind of lose some of the magic of, you know, why I started photography in the first place, which is, you know, the connection with your subject and having a real authentic moment happen. And that's really hard when there's 50 people watching and no time for each shot. And yeah, it's not conducive to creativity.
I wanted to, since you brought up creativity, are you the person that is also a creative director? Do you like decide like, okay, this is what I'm thinking for this kind of shoot? Or is there a team?
Yeah, I think for personal and editorial stuff, I'll use this website called MilaNote. It's amazing. You kind of drag and drop all these photos, and I'll usually start doing like, it's so good.
Yeah.
I'll start importing just tons of photos, moving them around, and then, you know, I'll get a location, and then I'll kind of like move different globs of photos into the locations and kind of evolves from there. Yeah, I think, the location, the studio, and then working closely with my lighting team, which is everything. I think of things as like a team. Everybody on set is every single person. I truly, truly believe is of equal importance on set, because if one thing is wrong, then the whole shoot kind of falls apart, and we got to think of it as one holistic thing.
Yeah. And I love that about your Instagram too. Like, you do list everybody that has like participated in said photo shoot, which is so good to see, because like you're saying, man, it's team sport, and I could see how it could be so easy to just put your name on something and be like, look what I did, you know, because there's applause feels really nice sometimes. Yeah. But then when you get to do it for the whole team, it's like, hell yeah. All right.
Yeah. There's so many people involved. It's so crazy. And everything is based on the team and the flow of the day and, you know, the light, how light falls on a face. Like, it's so important.
Yes.
The vibe on set, it really is a collection of people, and it's all about good people on set. I think I'm trying to focus on just having the right people on set, and then I maybe don't have to force everything, because I think a lot of times when, you know, you might not see eye to eye, there's a lot of forcing and convincing, then it's just like, where no one's gonna have an image that they like, because it will all be like a watered down version of everybody's idea of it.
Ooh, sounds like egos.
Yeah, we have to collaborate together. I don't believe any image can ever be truly mine unless it's like a ghosty image and it's just at my house. I don't know.
Right.
So with all the work that you do, you know, your job is photography. Do you ever find time to just do photography for you, where you're just kind of, you know, walking around with a camera taking?
Or do you just like, that's work?
Or is that just associated to work for you?
I know, Timothy, when you said it, you like shoot for fun, I'm like, oh my gosh, that would be so lovely. I know this is not going to be a fun answer, but I leave my camera at home on vacations, when I'm with friends. I'm not on my iPhone. I'm not documenting anything. And it just feels like there's a time and a place. Maybe if I get to the point in my career where I'm doing a lot less jobs, making more money per job would give me the space to focus on personal work.
Mm. Do you miss personal work?
The problem with personal work is that it's so expensive too. You know?
Right? Yeah.
I feel like people don't talk about it, but to even like shoot what you want to shoot takes so much time and energy. I mean, you still got to pay for the space. You got to pay the catering. Mm-hmm. You got to pay the team.
Yeah.
And talk about the clothes. And it's like, it's thousands of dollars before, if just for the most basic shoot. So I have to be very strategic.
Yeah.
You need like lo-fi. Like, I just want, like, one model to come one spot.
Yeah.
We'll go get lunch after.
Totally. I've tried to do like a ghosty project where I just, every now and then, I'm so sick of the advertising jobs with 70 people. And I'm like, I miss the one-on-one. Just come.
Yeah.
We'll use natural light. You'll be in my kitchen and I'll get you a couple film pictures. And that's been nice.
It's good currency. People like that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'd even think about the price of everything. I mean, coming from the world of, you know, I used to do, we would have like monthly art shows and I would like to, you know, mat and frame my photos and cool. Even the price of that to like put on a little show was just, you know, you're spending a grand just like really putting together a nice little thing. And then it rains that night. You know what I mean? Gosh. So like nobody comes out and it's like, wow. All right. It's cool. You got a show in a box ready to go for the next time, but it's just, it's so expensive. Art is no joke, man. Yeah. It's no joke.
It's so expensive. I think, yeah, the entry point is interesting. And I think social media is cool because anyone can shoot and put it up and hope to get attention. But, you know, I think there's some sort of like, I consider it like a video game. Like you got to get to this level and then it opens up the next level. And then, you know, maybe you make one more thing that feels congruent to you and then unlocks another thing.
It's so true.
Yeah.
You can hop up, but yeah.
Man, everything always comes back to video games. Go ahead, Chris. I'm sorry.
I just wanted to say it's true. How has your past as a model influenced the way you photograph people?
Yes, big time, I think. I think that's probably my biggest strength as a photographer is just kind of empathizing with the person in front of me and how it is from their perspective in every way. I'm huge on casting. I think I have a doc of like 300 models at this point that I try and push for different jobs. And
that's amazing.
To me, it's all about the person. It has, everything else can go away. And as long as me and the person can connect and the picture feels believable, like I believe that that person is there doing that thing or emoting that thing, then it's all good to me. But yeah, I try and think about how they're feeling and that really matters. And at the end of the day, you can see all that in a picture, what the set's like and how they're being treated and all of that.
The vibe is wrong.
Yeah.
It takes the whole thing out of it.
So taking that to, so there's models and then there's like celebrity people. And I guess celebrities are kind of used to being models now too, right? Or is it a little harder with somebody like that, somebody that's not a model? Is it a little harder to kind of pull something out of them or?
Yeah, I find actors are my favorite because they're used to tapping into different emotions. They're not scared of looking weird. They can like inhabit different emotions and show that. Whereas I think musicians, and this is just like overarching idea, not like for all of them, but musicians tend to have a brand and they need to stick to that brand and they want to be cool and, you know, you're not really doing much outside of what they normally are like. So I found actors are really fun and they just like, especially male actors, like get on the ground, roll around, do whatever.
Yeah.
It's been fun.
On shoots like that, I know I've assisted on a couple things, celebrity shoots, and usually you don't have that much time with celebrities. Is that true for you as well? It's always like... You have 30 minutes. They're like, okay, cool. We're going to get 12 looks in 30 minutes.
Yep. So I'm kind of a crazy planner. And I will say, okay, we'll get there 5 hours before.
That would be me. I'd be sleeping in a sleeping bag the night before.
Exactly. I'm like, we're going to get there as early as we possibly can. We're going to plan out any moves that we're making with the whole team. We'll know exactly where every light is moving so that when we're with that person, there's just a flow. And we know, and there's no waiting time because we can only move as, like, there can only be as much time as it takes for the talent to change into their next look, which is fast.
Yeah.
And they should not be waiting more than that. So it can be tough. But yeah, a lot of prep is the way to go.
Sounds a little stressful.
You taking notes, Chris? You taking notes?
I know. I'm like, okay, I just can't imagine like having all of those people and then people also being like, hurry up. It's like, oh God.
Totally. I'm really stressed out.
No wonder you're like, I don't want to look at a camera when I'm on vacation. Get it away from me, please.
Yeah. That makes way more sense.
I know. Wow. It's kind of sad, but then, you know, you get one of these, sometimes a picture, you get that thing and it's all worth it.
Yeah. It has to be. And a lot of your work looks like it's worth it a lot. Your work is fantastic. So
it's killer. Yeah.
Thank you.
But I feel like it's been like that always with celebrity photography. I feel like it's always been like, we don't have time to do this. And you're like, okay, well, we're here. Like, why is it like that?
Yeah. But back in the day, I also think the PR influence has really changed things. Because I don't know, I see like old celebrity, like 90s pictures, and like people are running around wild with these celebrities, and it looks so free and fun around the city or around.
Yeah.
Then they're like, wait, there wasn't probably a PR, and everybody was shooting on film. So there was less judgment, and you could really be free with those people. And now it's like, everybody's looking at that screen and stopping anything from happening. So I think a lot of the celebrity work starts to feel very safe, and a lot of like some sort of sameness, because it's being heavily controlled.
Where do you get the most creative fulfillment? Is it celebrities? Is it the models? Is it the advertising?
Definitely not advertising.
Just
fulfilling a client's needs and deliverables. But you know what? Yep. I'm proud. You get a sense of accomplishment, and I'm proud that like my team and I can create whatever they want. But there's no creativity on our end, usually, maybe a little bit. But and the celebrity, there's a lot of restrictions there. So I definitely say with the models.
Back to your roots. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah, you're so right. Yep. I got to remind myself that every day.
And being like you're based out of New York City, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you find it, is it very, I'm guessing it's extremely competitive there. Mm. Is it easy to kind of find your lane and stay in it? Because I've always wanted to live in New York City. That was like, that's always my dream. I mean, I might be 80 when I get there, but it's going to happen someday.
Where are you both now?
I'm in Los Angeles.
I'm in just central PA, kind of about an hour away from Philly. But I lived in Nashville 10 years before this.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I think there's a space for everybody. I think everybody, you know, what's so cool about photography, and maybe this is not talked about, or I haven't heard it talked about, but it's so psychological, and it's so... It really is how you see the world. Nobody else can do that. That's what's so cool. And so you bring all of your experience and time and feelings and emotions and how you want to see something. And only you can do that. So I think I've never really been competitive in that way, because it's like, gosh, oh, it's so cool. You see that person like that, or that person sees something that way. And it's like, there's a space for everybody, I think.
I agree. Because we say that too about, you know, friends of ours that are like, oh, we really want to start a podcast, but there's so many out there. And it's like, yeah, there's so many out there. Each one's different. It's like a different.
Totally.
It's like books. You know, there's a million books and they're all different. Yeah. It's like, you know.
I love that.
Go for it. Yeah.
That's true. It's like, that's really good advice just to remember about photography too and your work, that we all bring something else to the table.
Yeah.
And somebody might want what you bring to the table or what this person brings to the table.
Yes, exactly. And that's why you should really stick with, you know, what you really love and feel congruent, because that's what, is going to get you the work that you want.
Yeah.
Agreed.
I feel like we've all like been through, at least me, okay, I'm going to be just like this person, and like tried to copy other people's styles like so many times that now I'm just like, I need to create my own style. Like, what do I bring to the table? You know what I mean? Yeah.
What do you want to see?
Yeah.
Which I think is important when you're first starting. You know, it's important to try out a couple, you know, fall in love with the photographer's work and try to, because you're not going to learn any other way. I mean, unless you're being physically taught by a teacher or something like that. But a lot of us are, you know, a lot of us just found a camera one day and started shooting with it. And next thing you know, we're completely head over heels in love with it and find a way to make a buck or two off of it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
What's like your dream job photography wise? Like what are you achieving to do? Like what's your end goal?
I think I just want like a happy life. I just want to wake up.
Hell yeah.
I just want to wake up and not be stressed, you know, or like worry about emails and like pre-planning. I just want to wake up and have like a slow morning and you know, I think I want, ideally, it's like people trust me and the decisions of, you know, who I want to bring on. And there's not a lot of like fights or pushback, and just trust everybody can do the best thing that they do would be amazing.
It's a good answer. Just want everything to go smooth.
Exactly. And I used to say I wanted to do high-end fashion and bring diversity into it. I think it's happening, but I think mental health and your daily life, and you know, we can only live our own lives, and we got to make sure that the day to day is good, the hour to hour
That's true.
It's some things it's not worth it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I love that the more time goes on, the more we are starting to, like, as a collective, focus on things like that.
Definitely. Mental health is so important. It's very exciting to see that it's now being normalized and therapy is being normalized. And
yes.
It's really exciting.
Yeah.
Work-life balance too, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
So do you have any hobbies outside photography, since photography is not also your hobby, like some people, like
yes.
psycho like me?
I actually really do love podcasts. So I'm like, and I love psychology podcasts and books
cool.
and learning about psychological ideas. And I'm really interested in the universe and different theories about why we're all here and space time and
string theory.
There's this like block universe idea that's really cool, how like everything that happened and will happen is like in this block, and it's fascinating. You can YouTube it.
whoa
but that stuff like gets me going. I love it. I'm a dork. I do like yoga and boxing and stuff too. Yeah,
cool,
man. Yeah, that's hobbies great. Are very important.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, I feel like I have so much to still say, to still
say
ask.
Say it. Let it out. Let it out, Chris.
I guess one of my questions, because I'm like, your kind of work is the kind of work that really inspires me. It's like, you know, why I moved to LA. Like, I've just recently started assisting again on these kind of sets and stuff. What can you take us, and you can also not, you can also be like, no. But like from like, you get an email from a client, and then you have to like, what's the timeline? Do you have like 2 weeks to figure out what you want to do and pick a location, all that stuff, or do you need to do it in a day? Or is it sometimes both?
Yeah, I think like every single job is so different. I mean, I've had jobs that, you know, I get an inquiry and it's that day and they need the film to be rushed the very next day, and it's so insane. And then of course there's ones where you have, you know, months of prep time and so many different pre-pro calls, but it varies heavily. Is the honest answer.
Yeah, that's cool. I just wonder, because, you know, you look at, you know, your work and I'm like, how did this all come together? You know, like, I'm just so fascinated by all that.
Yeah, different every time. But I really stress the team and making sure everybody has their thing that they can focus on and try to delegate. And it's a collaboration for sure. And my lighting techs, and I work a lot in LA too, and I have a team out there, and there are these amazing guys in their 50s who kind of took me under their wing, and I love them so much. And they, you know, I was really honest at the beginning. I was like, I don't know anything. And they're like, so glad you told me. And they kind of explained different equipment and what's actually happening. It would answer questions whenever I was like, what's that, you know, what's that thing called? And oh, what's that power, you know? And without any ego or judging me.
Or like gatekeeping.
Yeah.
I hate gatekeeping.
Me too. So it's been so cool to learn from them, and we feel like we're in it together.
I love it.
Man, yeah. That's because it's so easy to pretend to know everything. And I think a lot of people do that.
Or like even like feel like you should know everything.
Yes.
I'm so, especially because, you know, I have the podcast and this and that. And then, you know, sometimes I don't know. And I'm like, I don't know. Like, I don't know.
I think that's awesome. That's amazing when you can say, you know, I don't know. And, you know, it doesn't make you a bad photographer if you don't know, you know, the power output of some sort of equipment. Or what this ultra bounce is called, or what,
it
doesn't mean anything about your photography. It's just another little thing to learn. But I think, you know, there's people who are lighting directors and photo assistants and grips, and everybody
can
do that for you on set too.
It's great.
I love hearing that, because it's it's just something I never, because I everyone knows I don't participate in this world. I'm just, I love photography just to love it. And to hear that, it just makes me, because I've worked on sets and stuff, and it's like, I see that all come together, and how, like, you know, there's good days and there's bad days, but when there's a good day and you're all like just winning, like, it's amazing. It's so good to end the day, because those days are not like short either. You know, anytime I've been on set, it's like 14 to 20 hour days, and it's like, holy, how am I still awake? How am I still moving? And it's like, oh, because these people are incredible, you know, like, it's, I love it.
The team is everything.
Yeah.
Everything.
So are you like a film fridge type of person? Yeah. Or do you just buy film when you need
it? What do
you have? I spend so much money on film.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even need to put it in the fridge, to be honest, because we are moving through that.
Wow. Yeah.
But I have office with like, they're organized based on type. That Portra 800 and my Tri-X and cute little, you know, see-through boxes. But no, we're moving through it fast.
Man. Cool.
That's good. Yeah. You're not hoarding like me.
Yeah, you got to shoot it.
It gets, it's expired, but that's probably cool too.
Yeah. I know. I got to go through and like No, it's just fine. It just proves I got to go. I got to set up some shoots. I got to go do the damn thing, you know?
You do.
Aside from my kiddo, which is
That's a good subject too.
He's a good subject. Yeah,
I love your self portraits. They're beautiful.
Oh, thank you so much.
Kiddo. So good.
He's like I like have him trained. So anytime I put the camera up,
I have him
like,
trained.
Oh my god!
Yeah,
he knows.
He's like trained. I didn't do it. He just knows now. He's just like that's awesome. A smile.
That's incredible.
It's the best. He's the best.
Oh
man,
I love it.
So are you still like a HASI shooter, or is that your main on-set film camera, or what are you shooting on set?
Yeah, so I am not that good at manual focusing. Not that bad.
It is tough. It is tough.
I've always dreamed, I'm like, I'm really going to use it for this shoot. And you know what? There's no way I can shoot what I need to with that for the editorial or celebrity shoot. So I shoot on a Contax 645.
Ooh,
it's automatic focus. the automatic focus is a game changer, and it's still medium format. So, but it's beautiful, and I've shot everything on that for my entire career.
When did you get it?
Oh, I was renting it for a while, and then I was like, I got to do this.
Yeah,
I mean, it must have been 2018. Yeah,
I had one and sold it, and that's my biggest regret.
I always hate Chris's story of selling it.
They're so expensive now.
They were expensive then. There was like $3,800, and I shouldn't have bought it really in the first place because I was not in the place to buy that. And so it went on a credit card. And then I was like, I'm going to be a wedding photographer. No. So I wasn't using it for what I bought it for.
Okay. You know?
And I can't let this sit here.
Yeah.
You know, because
it's crazy now. They've kept their value.
They keep
it for as much as I bought it for. But yeah, huge in the wedding photography industry, I hear. That's the camera of choice.
It's just a fun camera. You could also take the top off and like have the ground glass, which is really cool. And that you know, you can't beat that glass on that thing.
I was just going to say, the glass is insane.
I mean, it's the glass.
And the sound, everything about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah, I was just curious because, I mean, your work has the contacts glass, like, really has it's weird for being a 645. It's
Carl Zeiss, baby.
Yeah, it's just it almost has like a large format look to it sometimes. Like the depth of field is just so it's tasty. It's tasty depth of field.
Gorgeous. And then I started ordering handprints too, which I feel like this is a gatekeeping thing. I'm just like, I was like, wow, what is everybody doing? Like, the colors are so gorgeous and they're so soft. And what are people doing? And I was like, they're getting their negatives hand printed. And that was another like aha moment.
Yeah.
And that's even more money.
I was going to say, what does that cost?
$138 a picture.
Oh my God.
But if the client's paying, it could work.
Yeah, who cares?
But it's amazing. A lot of people don't know that. You know, a lot of people don't realize that prints, you can really pull out the photo if you have a print of it. And that's what you scan. You know, it's some people don't know that.
I didn't for a very long time.
Yeah,
and when I finally saw the side by side of the scan versus the print, it's an extra level of feeling.
And
It's just gorgeous.
Wow.
And I don't think prices are going to slow down anytime soon on that stuff.
No. No.
Do you have more than one 645 Contax?
I don't. I've thought about getting a second body. I have a friend who has one. I was like, or I could rent one. But no, usually I'm just switching out the film real fast.
Yep. Those are interchangeable backs, right? You don't have to load it into the body or anything like that.
Yeah.
Right? I forget. Okay.
But we go so fast that we're just, I'd never switch the backs. I just keep loading the film. I'll just take the film out, have another
one. Oh, wow, wow, wow.
But I was listening to your Ryan podcast, and I was like, oh, it's so cool that he said he stops and he rolls his own film.
Oh, yeah.
Insane. I was like, that's amazing. You kind of...
I know.
Oh, what a great idea.
I was like, how? What do you... With the 50 people... Right, but like on your neck, I would just die. I would be like, I don't know how to do this anymore. Like, how do I even roll this up? I don't know idea.
Same.
Yeah.
I have one assistant who counts my photos, and he's like 14 and 15, 16.
Whoa.
And
I was
like, and go.
Wow. So maybe we just slow up, slow our sets down, but yeah.
That's so cool to be able to do that. I wish he had a little pocket recorder to hear the conversations that he has in between loading and stuff. I bet he just has such a killer time doing that.
That should be a podcast. Between roles.
Between roles.
Wow.
I love that. Now, there's something really cool about taking a moment and calming down and recentering. I'm thinking about that. Yeah.
That's great. I have to remember that too. I mean, I take a second.
Yeah.
You know?
Why are we rushing? Yeah.
It's good.
Because
good
that's stuff. The world we live in now. I know, everything is go. That's why. We're
it's
built
too
that
much.
Way now.
It's too
I
much.
Know. I know. Do you shoot any 35 or any instant or anything like that?
You know, I've never shot 35, and I think it'd be really fun too. But I do a lot of
get this girl a Leica.
Yeah. I shoot a lot of Polaroids in stacks, and they're fun. Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. Trying to bring them on every shoot and scan them.
Yeah,
I think that's
best.
What you need to like take. Like a vacation camera, you need like a really nice, like whatever it is, even a point and shoot. You take a point and shoot and just like, and the Yashica T4 has that Carl Zeiss glass.
Oh, okay.
If I can make a recommendation.
Yes.
Man, amazing. I always recommend too, if you're like a big iPhone shooter, get one of those little Instax printers too. Those things are so much fun. I have a printer, an Instax wide printer now, and I am obsessed with it. Like, I love it.
It's really good.
I'll even print out film shots with it. And it's just so funny because like they look completely different. And then you scan that and then the whole, you know, I'm a nerd when it comes to that stuff.
No, it's so good. Playing with different mediums.
Oh, yeah. It's a blast.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you're the one who put me on the Polaroid one.
Yeah.
Because I had it forever.
Yeah, it's right.
And I was talking about how... Yeah, I was talking about how I wish I took a film camera to the hospital when we had Benjamin, and you're like, why don't you use your Polaroid? So I like have a bunch of like Polaroids of the day in the hospital.
Wow.
Still
that's
film.
That's so cool.
Yeah. Still film.
So special.
Yeah.
We'll be right back with a listener question for Heather right after this message from our sponsor.
These days, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries. And with that, we sent away good jobs and our capability to make things. American Giant is a clothing company that's pushing back against this tide. They make all kinds of high-quality clothing and activewear, like sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more. Right here in the USA. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs in towns and cities across the country. And jobs bring pride. Purpose. They stitch people together. If all that sounds good to you, visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Just wanted to pop in here quick and let you guys know about our Patreon-only Develop and Hang Nights. Now, we've done a bunch of these already. They're a ton of fun. We talk shop. We develop some film. We also try to get a former guest for these. If that sounds like something you're interested in, head over to patreon.com/analogtalk.
All right, guys, this is a part of the show where we break off and take a question from one of our listeners. And this week's question comes from Mirmores, and they wanted to know, how do you get people so comfy in front of the camera?
Yes, that's really the most important thing to me.
Mm-hmm.
I consider myself a dork. I wear knee pads on set.
Yes.
So yes. That's so smart.
They're gardening knee pads to be
exact. I love it.
And so I think when people see, you know, this girl strapping on some knee pads and she's not taking herself too seriously, I think they understand that it's a place where they can let down and be themselves.
Yes.
And I'm not some like stuffy person that's very serious. And they understand that the vibe on set is chill and they can be vulnerable and they can do a weird thing and they're not going to be judged for it. And we can have
an authentic moment.
Mm. Man, duly noted, knee pads.
Yes, knee pads.
Game changer.
Man, it just always reminds me of going back. I forget when the documentary was shot, but it was a Vogue documentary about their, what is it, the September issue? Is that the big one? Or November? Or whatever the big issue of Vogue is for the year.
September,
Yeah, and I remember the photographer that they hired for this thing was just one of those guys that, like, the whole team's running around like chickens with their heads cut off. And he just, like, I remember him standing there with his hand out and they put the camera in his hand and he's like, blah, 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 and then just gives the camera back. And it was you know, he was just so above everything, which, I mean, I guess when you're, you know, a $1 trillion Vogue photographer that you can you know, but it just, I love that. I love that there's a human side to this thing. It's so
I'm sure that they appreciate that so much more than know, like, nobody wants that where they're like, the photographer's not even talking to them. Ew.
I can't imagine. No, it's about feeling like you can be whoever you are. It's
beautiful.
Great.
Yeah. All right, so we might actually know the answer to the camera question, but we'll ask here.
Yeah, it's two parts, so
it's
maybe.
It's a two-part question. The first part is the desert island camera. It's the camera you can't live without. You're being buried with it. What's it going to be and why?
Well, you know, it's I do have a special place for that Hasselblad 500cm, I think it's called. But the one is the Contax 645.
Yeah.
I can use it in every scenario. It's my love. I'm obsessed. Mm.
It's funny because I don't think I even really thought what camera. I probably assumed it was something else. I don't think we've ever gotten that camera unless you were like a wedding photographer.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
I love that you're using that's the camera.
Not a lot of people use it. I think they're usually using the Mamiya's.
Yeah, I thought you were gonna say RZ when you were when you were talking about that. Yeah.
How are the photographers focusing that fast?
I know.
Right.
I need
that's
to
another
know.
like stressor is focus, you know?
Yeah.
When you're talking about the Hasselblad, I was at the park and I was, you know, shooting my kiddo and I was like, that didn't work.
No.
That's not a focus.
It's so hard.
Nope.
Imagine like, every set and models jumping around on a fashion set.
Yeah. How do you do that?
No way.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's a first for that. I'm thinking
cool.
That's the first
Contax
645. I mean, awesome. I know we've talked about it before, but I don't think it was ever the... So yeah, good answer. And part two is the white whale. Is there a camera that you've kind of had your eye on that you've always wanted to shoot and own and you just haven't had the chance to?
I think it's what a lot of my favorites shoot on. I think is it the Mamiya RZ? What's the best one? Is that the best one?
Yeah.
I would love to try it again. I think I rented it once and I was like, how do they do it?
Yeah.
But I would love to play around with that because my favorites use it.
It's tricky because it's huge.
Yeah.
It's heavy.
It is.
You know,
like
and then
six
you have
pounds.
To look down into it.
You
right?
don't always. They do make an eye level.
I mean, that's true. I have an eye level thing too.
Yeah.
What am I talking about? But I know. It's just that's the autofocus in the
brutal.
It's different than.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, two very, very good answers.
Yeah.
Man, anything else, Chris, you can think of?
I don't
of?
Know. This has been so fun, Heather. And thank you again for hanging out.
Thank you. I loved it. Film forever. Film is not dead.
Forever.
Film forever.
It's not dead. And we're not going to let it die either.
Film is
this
alive.
This community will revolt.
Hell yeah.
Heather, where can everybody check out your work? You have a website, Instagram, Twitter. Where do you want to?
Website and Instagram, Heather Hazan.
Yeah, perfect. Timothy, where are you?
Guys, I'm on Instagram, Twitter. What else is there? No, Instagram and Twitter, at Timothy Makeups. I also have some film photography related YouTube stuff. Easiest way to find that is just go to the search bar, type in Timothy Makeups. You can also go to timothymakeups.com. And that's it for me. Chris, where are you?
So I am Chris B. Photo on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. We're Analog Talk Pod on Twitter and Analog Talk Podcast on Instagram. And that's it.
Amazing. Thank you, Timothy.
Yay,
and Chris.
Heather. Thank you. It's our pleasure. All right, guys. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
All right, that's going to wrap it up for this week's episode. Heather, thanks so much for joining us. It was so great getting to hear your story, how you got into this whole thing. We love your work. We also can't wait to see what the future holds. Thanks again for taking the time to hang out. Guys, that's going to take us to Patreon. For only $1, you can get the show 2 days early. We also have our Patreon-only develop and hang nights over there and a bunch of stuff in the archives. Patreon is the best way to support the show. For all the Patreons that already helped support the show, guys, we do not know what we would do without you. Thank you so much. That's going to be it. Another episode down. Keep shooting, guys. Have a good week, and we will see you soon with an all-new episode. All right, later.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.